success. And she spells success S-U-C-K, like suck, like getting sucked off, like sucking somebody's dick, with a C-E-S-S at the end. And that single declaration remains the cleanest summation of what Dropout Peace actually amounted to, a total disintegration from all professional art world ambition. As dictator over herself alone, Lozano stood for smallness in all matter of things. She followed a general ecological principle, one ruler, one ruled. From capitalism, one learns that power has to do with controlling patterns of consumption, so she kept files on herself and listed the things that consumed every day without fail. Much of the new work seems to concern itself with consumption, including consumption of time. And that brings up an interesting point. Time as a consumptible good. And there's another episode that's coming out after this that I'm also working on that deals with liberation capitalism, and it's based off of the latest Benjamin Klein Honeycutt book, which is all about the experience economy. And so reducing matter and shedding fat while increasing energy and maximizing time were top priorities. Remember, Dropout had to do with diminished consumption. She maintained as a point of pride that Hollis Frampton once said to me, "You seem to have no waste products." Meanwhile, Lucy Lippard saw the potential of Lozano's transformation to operate on a whole other level. Unlike most instruction or command pieces, for example, Lozano's are directed to herself, and she has carried them out scrupulously. No matter how difficult to sustain they may be, her art, it has been said, becomes a means by which to transform her life and, by implication, the lives of others and of the planet itself. And this is kind of, leading by example. I think that's so important, just on a personal level. This is something I notice in the field of like content creation, you know, like sticking with a schedule. Like if I were to do the maximizing algorithm, Mr. Beast, or like, you know, picking hot topics to talk about, that would just negate the entire purpose of Contain as a project. Like this isn't a project based on optimization. It's a project based on ephemeralization and as little consumption as possible, like making the most out of the least. And so I don't really see a point in doing that. Now, financially, that's difficult. You know, it's difficult to sustain something this way. I'll be the first to admit it. Not completely, though. It's doable. You know, you can still finpunk it without totally wrecking your soul and giving in and being, I think, you know, highly... hypocritical. You know, we're all imbued with our fair share of hypocrisies, but you know, some people just, they take it to a whole nother fucking level. And then there's this concept of total revolution. On 10th October 1969, the Art Worker Coalition convened an open hearing at the School of Visual Art in Manhattan. Tensions had escalated since January when Takis Vasikalis physically removed his artwork in protest of the machine show at the Museum of Modern Art. Testing the waters of unionization and tapping the air as activists surge, the AWC formed as a non-hierarchical grassroots organization of mostly artists, writers, curators to address the mounting resentment and animosity felt by the local art community towards MoMA in particular and the moneyed power structure of the official art world in general. And it was open to anyone to deliver an address. And so Carl Andre, who I spoke about earlier, famous non-objective artist, you know, very close with Donald Judd, may or may not have murdered his wife. He just passed away this past year. Frederick Castle, whole list of other names. Barnett, Saul LeWitt, Barnett Newman. And this kind of... rose with the anti-war protests that were going on at the time with the Vietnam War. And that included all the sit-ins and bed-ins. And so there's a kind of parallel between, I think, war protest and that awakening a certain, I don't know, part of people to also experiment with different forms of living modalities as well. Like, you know, I think a lot of what we see now with the way war is waged, especially in Palestine, is, you know, you're killing all of these people and doing it with as little skin in the game as humanly possible. It's all predictive programming, data harvesting services, spyware, and, you know, very quick, short vaporizations of civilians in a very kind of it's very inhuman. And so I think when we're faced with this kind of opposition of like, well, this looks really inhuman. I'm a human being. I have a history. I have feelings. I have emotions. There's things I'm attached to. How is it that I can affirm my humanness in a world that is increasingly becoming less human? And it's becoming obvious. So it's not just, you know, social media consumption. It's literal things like 186,000 people dead, civilians dead. And so I think that brings up a completely sort of different point